Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Thank you so much for being here. As the gentleman just pointed out, I am indeed Golden Hawk. And tonight is another reality show, and with us tonight is the wonderful and enchanting Jennifer Adele. And, you know, Jennifer's just, she's fascinating, actually. I kind of got introduced to Jennifer and her work on Facebook because every day she would post the daily totems, the daily totem animals with inspiring messages and wonderful facts. All the time, Jennifer posts facts that I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And so I'm really delighted to have her on the show. She's definitely, I resonate with her work. She rescues animals and you know, serves the greater community of our four-legged and our not four-legged, you know, our. She helps everything, birds, mammals, I think even insects or something. I don't know. I just know you help it all. But I'm so delighted to have you on the show, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here again.
Yay!
Love it.
Yay! Yeah. Yay! So how are you? How are you in 2012, the infamous 2012? How you doing?
I know, right? It's just, you know, it's amazing. First of all, I never thought I'd really be here. It's one of those things when you're growing up as a child in the 80s, 2012, that just sounds like we should all be floating around on hoverboards or something. So, you know, it's really, yeah, kind of impressive when you sit back and think about where we are in the expanse of things. But, you know, I really just... I also turned 30, and so this year...
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's kind of an interesting year for me. Not only is it, you know, all of the vibing that's going on, you know, 2012, but also, you know, just kind of coming into my own during this time. It's been pretty intense since January, lots of challenges, but, you know, I've risen to those challenges and overcome, and I'm ready for more.
Nice. Well, and I totally get from your readings and... what you post and who you are, just knowing you, even what we were talking about before we went live, that, you know, the challenges are part of this experience right now. It's this point, you know, is not about it's not about having a challenge-free life. Excuse me. It's about having the challenges, moving through them, and then afterwards, you know, as a friend of mine said yesterday, it's cathartic.
It
you
is.
Know, that, right?
It yeah, is. No, it totally is. It's very cathartic. I mean, you have to kind of think of it like, well, twofold, like a purging process for your soul. You know, it allows you to shed or get rid of excess baggage that you couldn't carry to get over that hurdle. And I think it also kind of helps, you know, in terms of, you know, strengthening the self and allowing yourself to elevate. And I think a lot of us make those agreements with ourselves that we are going to do that in this life, you know, come in and pitch higher and work harder and evolve. So you got to expect those challenges.
No, right on. So, because, you know, I don't know if you saw the comment recently, like yesterday or the day before. I've been talking about this a little bit, but I'm really passionate about, you know, that two things. I got this in the woods today. Like a couple of days ago, I basically posted that health was not a reflection of whether we're on our soul's purpose. And then, of course, and I posted it with a picture of Stephen Hawking for obvious reasons. But and then today, no buts. And today I got... You know, and financially, too, whatever your situation or your status is financially, that's also not an indicator of whether you're on your soul's journey or not. I mean, the soul will intentionally make you lose your job, lose your house, lose your relationship, lose your mind, all at the same time to put you on the journey. That, you know, it's like that's why it, in my humble opinion, it doesn't matter, you know, and I'm not saying, of course it matters from, you know, our egoic standpoint if our health is, you know, in good condition and our finances are in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think because now is such a pivotal time in the shifting and in my humble opinion, again, and I'll just stop saying that, you know, screw it, it's my opinion, it's my
it's
show.
It's your opinion, you're entitled to it.
Yeah, thank you, right? And indeed, you can disagree, and I'm totally cool with that, too. Right now, the experiences we are experiencing are literally about our souls. It's blowing the ego. It's not even addressing the ego. I really believe that the intensity that we're feeling is because it's time for us to mature spiritually. And the way to mature spiritually is to connect, you know, with our soul, but by connecting with our soul, then we're connecting to literally everything. The land, the air, the animals, the insects. You know, there is the recognition that we're all here having an experience. It's not, you know, everything's here to serve the humans. No.
Right.
We're
no,
all
not
here
at
to,
all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting that you say that. I mean, your words really touched me just then. You know, I think sometimes I actually had a friend who very recently was in a car accident, and she's fine. But she said, of course, you know, you don't leave your house looking for a car accident. You know, you never really
right.
want to be in one. And but she said that she then realized that with her vibrational pattern that day, she was looking for a way to slow her life down, and
oh, wow.
she got hit. And her car was totaled. She couldn't go do all the things that she wanted to do that day or that she had planned to do that day, but it actually slowed her down. And so to a certain extent, you come into this life and maybe you have a health condition that you really, really don't want, or you're constantly that person who just can't seem to crack the code on making those financials look like you want them to look. But maybe on some level, your vibration is lining up so that you're in the position you need to be in for whatever it is you need to do or teach or say. And
right.
when you look at it that way, it gives you your power back.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I love you, babe. I mean, that is because, you know, perspective, in the soul's language, perspective is everything. I mean, it's everything. If you feel weak, you are weak. If you feel strong, you are strong. I mean, because it's not necessarily an outside experience when you're dealing with the soul. It's really an inside experience, which is ultimately, it's very different. Like I have, in the time that I would say in the last 18 months, connecting with my inner journey, there is literally a difference in my life between my inner journey and my outer journey. You know, meaning I see sometimes how, like, I'll say things and go, wow, I don't say that when it's just me talking to myself. You know, I'll just watch myself going, look at you, you know, and where I'm playing old stories. I'm
uh-huh.
just still playing them. And it's like, oh, look at that. You know, like, and I don't beat myself up for it. I'm just witnessing how there's different aspects of who I am. Now, the goal is definitely to bring the outside in, the inside out. This
right.
is,
so it all
and,
kind of matches up.
So it all kind of matches up. Well, that's because congruency is, I think, the ultimate power. When your cells know what your spirit wants, know what you're feeling, and in all humble opinion, the mind plays a part, but I am learning more and more. The mind really plays a part from more what I used to just kind of tell my physical world. Like, I used to just say to my physical world, just get me there. You know, what is... help me walk, so to speak, or help me brush my teeth, or, you know, those mundane tasks. And I am flipping it to, you know, the body has tremendous wisdom, and it's tremendous soul wisdom. My body knows what my soul wants.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind needs to be delegated to the back of the bus and just get my body there. It's now my mind's job to move my hands, to brush my teeth, or, you know, do the mundane tasks. And I'll be honest with you, the mind argues, but the mind, you can feel it where it just surrenders at times and goes, thank you. You know, I've been tired of running the game when I'm really not equipped to do so.
Right.
So,
I always say it's kind of like having two, well, I always say it's kind of like having two squirrels in my brain, and one squirrel knows what it wants and what it wants to do, and it's always the one that has the best ideas. But then every time that squirrel gets going, the other one, it starts flagging its tail and doing its thing and having none of it because, oof, that idea is scarier. That change is scarier. That's a bit of a bold move. Maybe we better not go there. And, you know, you just have to let it go, and you just have to let that kind of mind whirl itself into a tizzy until it's tired. And then you can proceed with what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the language of the animals, and I also love that, you know, there's a congruency. I'm loving connecting with people that really get that ultimately there's a voice in us that will tell us we can't do it, but there's still another voice inside of us that tells us, well, you got to try. Because it's not even about success or failure. It's really you got to try. You got to try to live from your soul. You know,
that's
is it challenging?
The key, and that's scary. That is scary
is
to
scary.
So many people in so many ways.
Well, it is. And if you think about that, that's an interesting that's an interesting fact that it's scary to live by our souls. You know, just that statement really confirms why the planet's in the shape it's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the soul, and listen, I'm not one that, the planet's not a victim, I'm not a victim, you're not a victim, that's not my line of thinking. It's really about challenges that we've, you know, kind of orchestrated into the plan, and we've also orchestrated into the plan the greatest gift of all, which is the ultimate awakening back into our full conscious selves after we came here intentionally to play in the game of forgetfulness. You know, I'm not mad at anybody for forgetting. It's the point. And there were definite, you know, certain aspects that really, you know, for lack of a better word, got off on me forgetting. And, you know, and I'm not mad at them either. Because I'm not mad at any of this, because once I'm starting to get, and I'll be honest with you, it is the animals and Mother Nature that so clearly tell me now that this awakening is not something that needs to, I don't need to build a Merkaba. It's not a mental construct. It's an isness of life right now. Life is ascending. And being a part of life, I get to go along for the ride. And, you know, it's always nature and the animals that tell me that. I mean, and I can't be more grateful because I get it that, you know, the fear, at least for me, was, you know, oh, my God, what if I don't, you know, what if I'm not good enough? What if I don't make it? You know, the basic thoughts of insecurity and, you know, not being good enough, which I think are pretty common amongst, you know, many of us. So,
No, I know what you mean exactly, and I think that is truly one of the first challenges, is getting beyond what if, because you that what if that can go on forever. That is the hugest hurdle, you know. I mean, getting beyond that what if, and there comes a point where you get to the and if you look out in nature, pick any animal, pick any plant, it doesn't go, well, what if I'm not, you know, a good enough dandelion. What if I don't produce enough seeds? What if I'm not good enough? That's not a worry. That's not a concern for Mother Nature, because guess what? If you're not good enough, quote unquote, if you're not viable, you know, we get to do this great thing called cosmic recycling. You get to try again.
There you go.
You know, the important thing is that you try.
Right. See, and I love it, too, because the animals definitely teach us. And I'm still learning this from a cellular point of view, but the animals definitely teach us that don't be afraid of death. You know, death is not, I love it that the cosmic recycling, death is really spontaneously rebirth. I mean, the minute we're out of body, I know it, the minute we're out of body, we are hip, hip, and arraying that there's no more squeaky oil cans or squeaky joints and achy joints and, you know, I mean, I'm 47, and I'm definitely feeling the compression of these days. And I'm not saying I'm looking, you know, to leave, But I intuitively know that when I go, the journey will be a conscious one. I'm not going to go into fear because I'm not afraid of dying. I've had, several pets, as well as my mom, who's on the other side, who come back to me, I've felt their presence on the bed, some of the cats on the bed. It was my mom's birthday yesterday. She was all over me yesterday. I could smell her perfume, and she was kind of, all excited for me to do my new endeavor with the psychic moon. And, everything in life tells me it's not the end. It's a shift. It's a change. But it's not the end.
Well, nothing ever truly ends. And it's interesting that you brought up, Stephen Hawking. I mean, I think a lot of his written works, he's a prime example, first of all, of meeting any challenge. I mean, that man is brilliant, and he has overcome adversities that many of us will never experience. But at the same point in time, his written works on the science and the wonder of the universe have proven that nothing ever really goes away. It just changes. So he is that living embodiment of everything that is exalted.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Right on. He was a good pick.
Yeah, I know. You were, feeling it.
I was feeling it. I was. Him and Helen Keller came to mind, and today Mother Teresa came to mind for the financial aspect that clearly we don't need money to be living in our passion. And
you don't need money to change the world either.
You don't need money to change the world. It's money that has changed it, and it's not that we need to go back to a place before there was money, but we need to go to the space where it really does work like an ecosystem, not a corporation. I mean, that's an essence changer. That's a game changer we're talking about. We're not just talking about, quote unquote, shifting around some CEOs in certain institutions. We are talking an essence changer that the ecosystem naturally serves the whole, but naturally, the plant irrigates the water, which allows the birds to swim, which invites the bugs in, which then pollinate, and I'm kind of grasping on some of these things.
I'm with you.
And it's like, my good friend who's at Psychic Moon, I mean, she said to me tonight, she goes, I can't wait till, the whole site is up and running and we've got, 50 callers and there's, and payroll becomes, chaotic. I mean, she said, I can't wait for that. And I'm going, see, that's an ecosystem statement because I can't even fathom that. as something I would look forward to. And yet she was being quite honest that, the challenge of payroll and, of course, everything going well, but it doesn't scare her. She loves it. And I was like, see, that's the truth. Everybody will fit into a place so naturally when we start start getting into the organic aspect of who we are. And money is not organic. And I'm not saying, to just quit your job and do without, but I'll tell you, there's a funny thing that happens.
Not.
Right. Right. But if you do lose your job, let's just say you do lose your job, I can tell you something that costs no money and incredibly beneficial, spend some time in the woods or at the beach, or at a mountain. The natural setting really doesn't matter, but the key is it should be a natural setting.
Yeah, get out there. Exactly.
Get out there. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So I have a question for you. Today there were some amazing creatures that were stopping by as I was decompressing on my throne.
okay.
that's how I play. There's one place where I sit right by the reservoir. I've got these tall rocks behind me, and it's so great. It's like my little throne, and I actually buried my crystal there today, and as I was driving home, remembered, oh, my God, I didn't take it back. And then as soon as I remembered I didn't take it back, I immediately went, well, I know exactly where it is. It's at this place that I go to regularly. And I immediately saw 111 on a license plate, and then Route 111 on a highway sign, and it became this like moment that it was like the crystal's supposed to be buried there. It's kind of getting recharged. Pick it up in a few days. It's all good. You know, and I was like, whoa, you know, like, you know, Mother Nature immediately came to me. You're good. It was supposed to be left there. Yes, that's what you were supposed to do. It's like, wow. You know, like, right on. Okay. Okay. You know, like, the answers are coming. But one of the questions I have, I saw there were these two white cranes playing in the gust of wind. It was so incredible to watch these birds. They would, like, go across the reservoir at, like, you know, 40 miles an hour. And then they would kind of do the circle thing, and then they were diving into the water. And I said, you know, I'm going to ask Jennifer, I don't know if you know that offhand or...
Yeah, I do. It's actually interesting because it kind of plays in with your numerology there.
That
is a little fascinating. Let me just kind of touch on the numbers first, and then it'll all come together. First of all, groupings of three of the same numbers are really good luck.
Okay.
But the ones actually add up to three, which is kind of the closing of a cycle for you, which, of course, as we know, is the opening of another cycle. So it's probably also why you kind of needed to recharge your crystal. You know, you're finishing something up, so you have to rebirth that for it to become useful again. You have to kind of cleanse it of the energy that's there.
Right.
But as far as the cranes, with the being two of them, the first message you're going to get is as you proceed on your, you know, what's happening with you now as you're moving forward, a key focus for you is going to be balance, maintaining your balance in your life. Proper work-play balance, just, you know, proper sleep and wake time, just all of it. Try to keep everything in a healthy balance with a really good perspective. It's also a symbol of longevity, and not just longevity of, you know, the physical sense, but what you're about to enter is going to stick with you a very long time. It's going to be a very important part of your life as you move forward. So,
wow.
Yeah,
it's awesome stuff. I'll tell you, Jennifer. Because I'll tell you, at this point, I mean, I love the interpretations, but I tell people all the time, if you don't know, you know, exactly, feel into it. Like, at the very least, I could feel that, especially the fact that I saw the triple ones on both sides, literally left and right, it kind of came to me like all space within me, you know, was saying that was okay to leave that crystal there. And I mean, I knew intuitively on some level that, well, and it's not even intuitive, like today I did the paperwork to get going for this, you know, new psychic thing, and you know, I am starting a new chapter, and you know, in all honesty, I'm nervous, I'm excited, but that's what it's all, you know, I love, you know, walking my talk and talking my talk, cuz you know, this, If you're going to be on the air and, you know, babble all this, you know, change is good. You might
well,
as
people
well
are going to keep track of
change.
You. You better
exactly.
Live up to it.
Exactly. And, you know, I do like living up to it because I think at this point, like I said, I mean, we're already in March. We're just a couple of weeks away from the equinox.
Yeah.
It, you know, to resist change at this point. But let me ask you a question. So... Mm-hmm. Do you have like a general communication of what the animals are experiencing right now?
You know, I really think that, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people, we had a very mild winter here in the local area where I live. I don't know what it was like for you.
Me too.
And a lot of that, people, you would not believe the comments that people kept saying, and I thought, it's completely erroneous. People would say, oh my gosh, the earth is out of whack, Mother Nature's out of balance, the planets, you know, everything's wrong, we had no snow, it wasn't cold enough, and on and on and on about how nature doesn't know what it's doing, and, you know, crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, without even bothering to look at historical weather patterns.
Okay.
We're in the middle of a La Nina pattern.
Okay.
What we're experiencing, totally natural. Now, I'm not saying there's not global warming, because there is, and I'm not going to go into that because that's a whole other topic. But,
okay.
But what we experienced, the mild winter, was, in fact, normal. Mother Nature knows what she's doing. The animals know how to adjust. The plants know how to adjust. As a matter of fact, what really struck me keenly as a message is we're the only ones that don't know how to adjust. We're the ones with a huge problem. We just can't quite connect. And you look at people, they go, literally in the winter is when I see it most keenly, and this message always comes across to me most keenly in the winter. We go from, we wake up and it's still dark. We turn on the lights, we go from a lit and heated home to a lit and heated car to a lit and heated workspace, back to that car, back to that home. We never experience what winter is meant for us to experience, which is the cold and the slow. And I think a lot of what we sense about us and what I'm sensing now from just everything, from the animals to the plants, all of it is this message of slow down. We are moving so fast. And, you know, if you really want to kind of get a feel for that pace, just look at technology. Look at the online world. Look at how fast people are expected to respond online. That is a really good indicator of how fast we're moving compared to how fast we were moving 50 years ago. And, of course, you can't go back. But if you don't keep a sense of perspective, we've lost our perspective. And that was a huge message for me this season.
Well, that's a brilliant insight, babe. It's brilliant, because right on. And, you know, it's interesting because I have snow pants. I have long johns. I find it actually, I love hiking in the winter. When it's snow, there is an unbelievable, there's a duality that plays for me in that it's unbelievably silent. I mean, there's just there's a density to the air when there's snow on the ground, not when it's necessarily even falling, just when it's snowy outside. But there's also an unbelievable creativity because every snowflake is unique. And I always look at, you know, literally the miles and miles and stateworts of snow and go, and not only is every snowflake unique, no two were ever alike. I mean, it's like this means that there is a source within this, within our experience, there is a source of creativity that is just truly mind-boggling. It goes beyond comprehension how much creativity exists if every snowflake is individual and no two are ever alike. I mean, like...
See, and isn't it interesting that you came about that epiphany when you were still and quiet and in the snow, in the cold? We can
right
really
on.
Recharge in the winter season. You know, we have this hustle and bustle from the previous three seasons, and then you get through the holidays, and I don't know about you, but I'm just flat exhausted. And, you know, we need that dark and that quiet and that cold to recharge our batteries and come back to our creative innate selves.
Yeah, right on. No, I was talking to somebody recently, my friend Punky, and I said, you know, exactly what you're saying. I was like, if we would get more back into the natural rhythms of life itself, we would, you know, we would in ourselves feel more embraced by life itself, you know, because I can't live without the woods. And that's not to say I don't go have to be there every single day. I mean, you know, and I have a real techno, Scott is very technological based. So, you know, it's kind of funny because when I'm over his house and I'm with him, there's a lot of technology because that's his gig. You know, he loves technology. But boy, like today, you know, I could feel it. This morning, I didn't feel right this morning. I mean, I could just tell I was off because usually when I'm off, I'm cranky and I'm bitchy and, you know. And
bitchy? Oh, my.
Yeah. Goldie definitely has a few.
Are you in touch with your inner bitch? Really? Rock on.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what animal totem that would be.
That's the human totem right there.
Yeah, that's true. That's the human totem right on. I answered a good friend of mine's email, you know, kind of quick and curt, and I went, you know what, Goldie, it's 60 degrees outside. Get your ass to the woods. And it's so funny because, I mean, I don't need the I'll often be listening to an MP3 or a YouTube or the TV. I mean, I like having sound in my space. But I really like the silence when I'm in the woods. And of course, you know, it's a natural silence. It's definitely
not
as quiet. It's really not silent at all. That's true. Even though I would imagine maybe the desert might be silent, except for the wind. But the woods clearly are not silent. But it's like, I don't know, just getting in touch with that, the whole organic side of myself. I mean, within 20 minutes, I'm completely restored, and I'll always stick around like 2.5 more hours simply because, you know, well, you're going to have a hard time getting me up now because I just sit there, and I think, and then I stop thinking, I chill, and I watch the birds dance on the pond or the reservoir, and I had a butterfly land next to me on a rock today, and I mean, it's so funny because the butterfly landing there literally was like, you're on the path to metamorphosis, Goldie, and you're doing great. I mean, that's what I got just from a 30-second visit from, you know, a very, quote-unquote, flighty little insect. You know, it's like, it was huge. It was huge.
And, you know, that's almost like sacred space. You know, that's actually living. Everything else that kind of goes on around us, the busyness, that's sustainability. That's not really living. Living is in those kinds of moments where we are keenly aware of something maybe nobody else other than us will ever see in that moment.
Yeah.
It's just you and that butterfly, and nobody else sees it, and that's a real, vivid, sacred life moment.
Yeah, right on. You're right on the money. That is what it is about. And I'll tell you, when you're in that, it is. I mean, that's why I'm like, it takes only 20 minutes, so to speak, to get my field back in order.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's back in order, you know, it's like we're not going anywhere. I mean, especially on a day like today. I mean, it was 60 degrees.
Gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. I mean, there was actually mosquitoes were out today, and I went, wow. I mean, the ecosystem is clearly, it's different this year. I mean, I don't think that Mother Nature doesn't know what she's doing, but it is clearly different. I mean, last year.
It's a very mild winter. It alters everything.
It does, doesn't it? So the animals intuitively know how to work through the, you know, the altering of it?
Absolutely. If anything, for most of them, it's easier. You know, just naturally speaking, food is abundant in different places longer than it might normally be. You know, animals tend to sense. And I think, you know, really, if we were less busy, less turned on, plugged in, amped up, whatever, we would probably sense these things too. I think it's inherent in all of us. People kind of forget, and of course some people get upset when you say things like this, but again, that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it.
Right on.
We're a primate. We're a primate. We're an animal. We are smack dab in the middle of the animal kingdom, and just like any other animal, we're doing what's natural for us to do, but sometimes that frontal lobe gets the rest of the whole brain out of balance, you know?
Yes.
That well-developed frontal lobe gets us sometimes, and you know, it's always good, like when you go to the woods and you kind of recoup, think about, you know, what that's activating for you. It's probably activating all the other parts in your brain that are squashed down by what's going on constantly in the frontal lobe, in the logic and reason and communication portion of the brain.
Yeah, right.
You need to reconnect with your animal self.
Right, the organic self. And are you kidding me? Are there still people on the planet that don't want to be connected to the animal kingdom?
Absolutely.
For real?
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes when I say things like that, people look at me like they're just horrified that we're a primate. I'm not a monkey. Oh, yeah, you are. Probably more than anybody else in the room. You're a monkey.
You just don't have much hair. Wow. If I'm correct, we're like 97% the same DNA. If you're not a monkey, what are you?
Exactly. You know. Well, you know, you're a human, and that puts you above everything, don't you know? There are some people that are still shocked by that concept or in denial about that concept or whatever, but actually when you embrace that concept, that part, it's the missing piece of yourself. You now understand why you do the things you do when you do it. You now understand why people act all territorial. They perceive that as their territory, and they're not going to let you take what they perceive as their resources, and that's just like any other animal. Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's exactly right. I mean, right? No, right on, Jennifer. That is right on, and I love your perspective. You're clear. You know, and you know, your opinion and my opinion happen to, you know, go congruent, which is always nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice to find somebody? You're like, oh, it's a kindred spirit.
Yeah, indeed. But, you know, but again, I want to be conscious, too, that it's okay if we disagree, too, because we don't have to agree on every single thing. Because, you know, that's part of, like, what I'm learning is the higher up in the dimensions we go, there's still duality there. It's just duality doesn't equate to war.
Right.
Duality in the fifth dimension is basically, okay, it's a difference of opinion. That's cool.
Right.
You
it's
can
variety.
You know, it's right. It's diversity, variety. It's what makes the ecosystem so juicy and beautiful. So beautiful. So we have a caller. You know, I'm thinking we can maybe go back and forth a little. Are you cool?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Let's kind of see where the evening takes us.
Right on. You're great. Excellent. Okay, area code 314, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Doris from St. Louis.
Hi, Doris. How are you,
love? How are you doing? All right.
I'm doing great.
This is great. This is good. I was listening into your show, and I said, oh, my God, it's a great topic.
Yeah, right on. So do you want a totem reading?
Well, yeah, and I got some couple of questions about birds, you know. It seemed like a lot of birds come to me, you know, like this morning. It was like I couldn't see it. It looked like a crow maybe or a hawk,
okay.
But it was on a light pole. And, you know, the light was so bright, like it was a big orb around it that was kind of
keeping
it. But they was calling me outside. They were so loud this morning. I went outside, and a couple of them stopped talking, but it was one that kept talking. And I was like, okay, these birds always come to me.
That does sound like a crow. They're very, first of all, they're very smart. And by the way, I'm in St. Louis too, so hey, Doris from St. Louis.
Oh, hello.
Hey. So,
hello.
Yeah, but that definitely sounds like a crow. Do you know, could you tell with the light, was it like a dark color?
It looked like a dark color.
Okay.
It looked like a dark.
Yeah, that's probably a crow, especially since they kind of hang together. Yeah, crows are, first and foremost, crows kind of alter your perception of reality. When I was switching jobs some time back, crows were pretty prominent. And it's a reminder that no matter where you go, when you leave something behind, you never really leave it because your thumbprint, your impression, is still there, and it will forever ripple out because everything is now changed because of what you've touched. So even though you might move on to something, you never, ever really leave.
Okay.
So it's okay to let go.
Okay.
Because you have forever changed it, and your impression will always somehow be there.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm going to kind of point out about crows, they also kind of symbolize renewal, personal renewal for you in your life. They're also they're kind of a trickster nature. So sometimes if you're not quite getting the message, they tend to make things a little bit ironically funny and challenging in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't really get with the program, you might have some interesting ironic hurdles coming up. And that's sort of their energy there. And always remember that there's strength in numbers. Crows kind of stick together. And so always remember your friends and your family, they're your abundance.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got chills when you say that. Go ahead.
Me too. I'm vibing with you.
That's sweet. That is sweet.
So what did you say about the totem, animal totem? I just had a vision about totems, but go ahead.
Oh, I think Goldie was asking you if you wanted a reading.
Yeah?
Yeah, we could do one real quick here.
Excellent.
Let's just kind of give it a second here, and we'll see what naturally kind of comes up for you. All right. I've got two very distinct impressions. The first impression being, are you afraid of spiders?
No, actually.
No? Good. Because that is the first one I have for you. So before we get into it, I always ask people when this little card comes up, are you afraid of them? Because that kind of alters the message if you are. So you're not afraid of spiders.
Mm-mm.
You're cool with it.
Right. Okay. I think they serve a purpose. All animals serve a purpose.
Right on.
Well, the spider weaves its own web of reality. The spider is spinning its own story and creating all these connections and weaving its own web. What that means for you is if there's threads in your life that you're not entirely pleased with, remember that ultimately you're in control. And if you want to change the layout of the thread, you just have to change your choice of the placement. Okay? Also, new opportunities are getting ready to open up for you.
Wow.
Okay?
Yes.
With this type of impression, there's always that concept of new opportunities to change the weaving. So new things are getting ready to definitely come your way. The second impression that I have for you is the water buffalo.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's a really strong energy. And that is telling you to face life head on with courage and reclaim your brave spirit. If there's any part of yourself that you kind of feel has, I don't want to say left, but there, if there's any part of yourself that you've kind of not been able to fully embrace or not be able to fully work with. Like sometimes this comes up with artists when they're repressed and they're not getting time to do their art, or sometimes it comes up, you know, with people that have certain things they want to attend to in life but haven't gotten to. This comes up and it's telling you to reclaim your life and reclaim yourself in your fullest expression.
Okay, that's what I'm doing now. I'm really working on that. I'm
doing
the exercise day, movement, moving my body, exercising, and keeping my back straight, not putting my head down anymore.
The buffalo, too. The buffalo's all of it, right? Isn't the buffalo, it has a big head, meaning it's showing you. It's really showing you. Sorry, Jen, I know I always jump.
It's that face up.
Right.
That's what my mind is changing, because I know that something's coming. I've been putting it out there that I want to change and I want to be able to help people, and I just like, it's something is coming, and I welcome it. The change is coming.
Right on. I just got to say one thing. Doris, what's coming is, you're absolutely right, and it's coming through you. Like, it's coming through all of the people that are opening up, going, we know the change is coming and we're not resisting it. So the actual change of life is us. It's coming through us. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Right on.
That is. And it's not coincidence that people connect. They come together and they connect. You know, just like the people come to me who won't help. Like, I open people's chakras up and let them know it's not. Don't be afraid of what they see or hear. I don't know what their gifts are, but allow it to flow and study. Don't take my word for anything. Always study, you know, understand what's going on with you, you know.
Right on.
And, one more question. I know. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, Doris. You're Doris from St. Louis. You asked the question. You're fine.
I got home today, and I stopped, and I looked up at the sky. And the clouds start forming, wanted me to see something. He just told me to stop and look up, and I end up seeing this wolf or canine animal, like towards this woman who had big breasts, and it had a heart in the breast, like a shape of a heart in the breast, and she was smiling down at me. And then as the vision changed, it was a man and a woman. It was a woman on the throne, I'm sorry. Then, and with a man there. But then it turned around. It went behind the clouds, and it was a man and a woman guided behind the clouds. But then the man, he looked down at the parking lot across the street from where I live. And then all of a sudden, I looked down at the parking lot across the street from where I live. And then there was a red, like, charger, dark black windows, had pulled out of the parking lot was just sitting there looking at me. And I was just like, oh, okay. Because, you know, they warn me when presents are around. They'll look at that direction or let me know somebody's coming. And this is, which I'm not scared about that kind of stuff, you know, because I think it's something from past life. And that I'm having issues with, I draw that type of energy toward me. And I'm accepting it and asking for a release of that. But what is the, can you understand with the canine and the heart and the woman's chest? I mean, it was just a heart. I mean, it's just a plain heart. There was another
well,
woman.
I mean,
too.
I could comment on the canine part. And you know what? Then I'm going to like Goldie just kind of run with the rest of that.
Oh, I love you, Jen. Okay, right on.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of touch on the canine part and then let you just do your wonderful thing.
Thanks. Okay,
yeah,
right on.
So the canine typically in almost every culture represents, first of all, steadfast loyalty.
Okay.
Pack behavior, protection being a huge component. I mean, think about why we have dogs to begin with. So it's always that kind of a thing. There's always that theme of loyalty, togetherness, and above all, protection.
Okay.
Hold on.
You feel that around me a lot. I swear, I feel that around me a lot. Go ahead.
Well, and the heart is, I mean, just to top it off, what I would just be, of course, is to trust your own heart. I mean, in other words, trust the sensations that you're getting in your body that are telling you when to look, when to stop. Because, you know, this is, it's a moment-to-moment experience. And the best protection we have is not something that can protect you 10 moments down the road. It's in the moment. Are you aware? If you're aware, whatever the gift, whatever the shift, whatever you need to know, it's in you. It will talk to you. Life is communicating with all of us. If we're open to listening to it, which is, you know, open the heart. It's not coming through. It's not necessarily in our mind. It can become, you know, through your whole cells in your body. You just get the point. Stop and look up at, you know, because some people that are new on the path are going, you know, I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. It's like, no, go beyond the senses that are in your head. Go into the senses that are in your body, which is your heart and touch. Those are the two senses that, in my humble opinion, are the navigational tools for the time we're living in right now. So, you know, the canine showed up to confirm the protection, and the heart is truly that. It'll communicate through your heart. So there's no tool. You can't lose your heart. It's not like if you have an ankh or a crystal. You don't have to worry about that. You are the divination tool, and it's going to come through you however it needs to come through.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I just want to say
you're
I
so
love
welcome.
You, Goldie, and I love
I
your
love
partner,
you too,
and I love Adele. I was looking at her website.
Oh, yeah, wait. Well, I'll post it too. And Adele, what is your website so people can go and
For all the animals? Yeah. That is earthandpawtotems.com.
There you go. I'll post that too.
And it has all the topology, so just feel free. Anytime you're looking for something, just click that animals link at the top of the page and select what you need.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, Doris.
I'm listening to it on the computer now. Okay.
Okay. Right on, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Right on. Bye now. Yeah, she's our new favorite fan, me and Janine. She's beautiful.
Yay.
Just beautiful.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right, we got callers. I put it out there. I mean, I let's do calls. I mean, you rock when you call and okay. And you're helping me get through my fear for when I got to do the call.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, right on, Jen. Okay, area code 304. You're live on the air.
304, is that me?
Yep, that's you.
Oh, hi. Jennifer,
hi.
It's Diane.
Hi, hello. Oh, it's my sister.
Oh, hi, Diane.
Yay, I love Diane.
Yeah, right on.
I had to call and support my girl.
Oh, yay.
Right on.
How are you, hon? Wow, what
I didn't really have a question.
You?
I just called.
You didn't even have a question. Oh my gosh.
Well, do you want a mini read? I realize you can probably get
sure.
one anytime.
Sure. Go right ahead.
All right. Yay.
I'm always in the mood for a mini read.
Yes.
Well, and I truly believe that whenever we do this, like on the air, the reads are helping more than just one person. You know what I mean? They tend
oh,
to
I
be.
Oh, I have no doubt. Just listening to her, I need some of that water buffalo guy here.
Right on. There you go.
Well, I've got two for you, and I think that, well, see, and I know you pretty well, so it's kind of almost a little like cheating, but
that's okay, I'll take it.
Jump right in. You'll take it.
But remember, other people, you'll still apply, you know, to the listeners, so
that's
rock
very
it out.
True.
So,
and
yeah.
hey, it
yeah.
always helps the reader, too. Like,
yes.
I always
yes.
learn something.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Right on.
Well,
I get that.
The first one that I have for you is the puma. Okay, or the mountain lion, the cougar, goes by. I think it's the cat that has like 70-some-odd names or something. It's actually
yeah.
kind of insane. So I'm pretty sure we're visualizing the same animal there. But the symbology for the puma, a.k.a. the mountain lion, primarily power, desire, and healing. To go just a little bit more in-depth, personal power. And that's going to come through solitary endeavors. You're also going to want to make sure that you're not timid about your own predatory nature.
Mm.
There's a hunter in you.
There
There's
is.
There's a hunter
it's
in
a
you.
Little silent.
Yeah,
yeah the
okay.
humans the humans call it bitch. I call it
yeah.
hunter.
Did you touch with your inner hunter slash bitch, you know?
I just call it my middle name.
Right.
Giant bitch.
Golden Hawk Puma.
Right. I love it.
But you know, all that leads to ascension for you, Diane. It really does.
No.
The puma, kind of like the jaguar and the leopard, represents that deep, powerful magic that symbolizes awakening of your own energies that leads to a healing and a fulfillment for you. You're coming into your own healing, completely aware, totally fulfilled space. But you have to own it.
Yeah.
You have to hold it.
I do.
And you have to own it.
I do need to own it.
Okay. And don't be afraid of bringing out that inner mountain lion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let you can roar. Exactly.
That's right. So kind
right
of channel, that's going to be your primary one.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the owning it part's the part I need to work on.
Yeah. I always tell people, don't be afraid to own your space.
Right
when
on.
You step into a room, when you step into a new area, own your space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You're just as valid as anything else there, okay?
Right.
Absolutely. Great advice.
The second one that I have for you is the elephant.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got really two really charismatic.
Those are key, yes.
Yeah,
very charismatic.
Hard to even miss
exactly.
animals. I mean, they're pretty iconic. Strength, prosperity, wisdom, all of these are key for the elephant. Also, matriarchal systems and preparedness. Are you prepared for where you need to go, and can you lead? Those are two key questions.
Wow.
Yeah. Not that anything's tough for you or anything. You know, it's not like we didn't give you enough with owning your space. But, you know, the elephant is also rich in lore and legend, specifically the white elephant being the most sacred, and that's kind of the one that I'm really sensing for you.
Okay.
They were venerated in India, but we're all familiar with Ganesha, right? The Hindu god with the elephant head.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a ring of that just this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yep.
I have so many synchronicities. I got to share the synchronicities after the reading, but finish the reading. Yeah, it's tremendous.
Well, the other thing
tremendous.
That I want to tell you is I know that you're going through a life transition, but as you're learning, make sure you're also taking that knowledge and pouring it forth for others. That's going to be a key for you in your life.
I always try to do that. Is one thing I always try to do is if I've learned something, I always try to pass it on.
You have a lot to offer. I mean,
it's not good enough to learn it yourself. You've got to share the knowledge, kind of thing.
That's very good, because you know what I've actually run into, because I guess because I've worked in some niche fields, it's interesting, people will information hoard even when it doesn't benefit them.
Yeah.
They
just want to hold on to the information so they're the only ones that have it. I certainly don't sense that from you, so what you need to do is almost like compensate for the people that do that. Mm-hmm. Open yourself up so that you can teach everyone it's okay to be open.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, Excellent, as always, my dear.
Thank you.
Well, okay, and you might just want to stick around for the synchronicity, because if your reading, if my synchronicity affects you as much as your reading affected me, maybe we're here to say, you know, to share. But, okay, so first of all, the totem, I have done my reading with the medicine cards for the nine totems.
Yeah.
And my within totem is cougar. So everything you just said to her, clearly, you know, that's I resonate deeply with it, and it was amazing. Now, here's the wild part, too. Just the other day, I had a dream where my mom was holding up an elephant.
Oh.
And the elephant's body, as I walked closer to the elephant's it was a clay elephant. And as I walked closer to my mom who was holding it, the body dissolved and it was just the head. And so I asked my girlfriend, Jules, I go, you know, what do you think that means? And she goes, oh, I know exactly what that means. I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? She goes, it's Ganesh or Ganesha. And
yeah.
I'm like, wow. And then here the elephant is showing up in the Ganesha reading. And it just so happens I work for a family who's Indian in heritage. And just the other day, Anya, my seven-year-old, comes home with this, all these Indian books about their deities and stuff, and, you know, on the counter is a book about Ganesha, and, you know, Ganesha is about new beginnings, success, and by the way, this is the part I really love. Ganesha is very mischievous.
Oh, you just adore that.
None of us are.
So we get to be brilliant. We get to have success. I mean, it's definitely the lore, the L-O-R-E, the lore of success from the Hindu religion. But it almost comes for what I would call almost like the Hayoki from the Indians, where because of the mischievousness of it, it might look a little in reflection of. It might be something that benefits us, but it doesn't necessarily benefit the whole at the time, because sometimes at the time the whole are people that really don't want us to, you know, they want us in our boxes. They want us to kind of keep us where they want to keep us, as opposed to us going through our changes that are disrupting
definitely.
Their lives.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
You know, there's that magic that goes on.
If you change, they've got to change with you or get out of the way. So
if you're strong, right, you got to be strong. I agree with that, but easier said than done. And then once you start making those changes, it will be impossible to stay where they want you. And inevitably, even blood members might, you know, and I'm not talking about Jennifer or anything, but you'd be surprised how many blood members of your family will just stop associating with you because you know what I mean. You've as they term it, you've gone over the, you know, the top. You're over the top with this. Who are you? And it's like,
well,
and
you're reminding them. You're reminding them of all the things that maybe they could have been and never were.
Yes.
You're reminding them of all the opportunities they let slide because it was scary.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a
constant reminder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great space to be in. Again, you know, with the totem of, you know, the cougar having the courage and the agility and, you know, and then Ganesha with the elephant. I mean, I'm going, this could be my
that was
reading.
Cool, because I was looking at that. I swear, I was looking at this ring. It was a copper Ganesha ring this morning. I swear, I was just looking at it this morning thinking, I ought to get that. And
You're in tune with that. I love synchronicities.
Now,
they
the
are the telltale
signs. Are you
going to
get it? That's the question.
I am now.
All right.
Right on. Yeah. All right.
Yay.
Great call.
I'll show it to you in June, Jennifer.
That's right. We'll see you. It's coming up quick.
Yes, it is. Not quick enough, but it's coming.
Right. Aww, thanks, Diane.
Oh,
thank you
guys.
So much, Diane, for calling and having the great read.
Thank you. And I'll continue listening, and you guys have a great show. You sounds good so far.
Thanks.
Right on. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. Oh, that was hot. Okay. All right, so, she's going to hang up. Okay, that's cool. All right, so we got another caller. Area code 773, you're live on the air with Jennifer and Goldenhawk.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mary Lee from Chicago.
Hi, Marilee.
Just discovered your show, and I'm very impressed. It's very, very nice.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're doing a great job, Golden Hawk.
Oh, thank you.
People are discovering you and just addicted.
I have great guests. That's my trick. Great guests or great partners. You know, all you have to do is emphasize the greatness in life, and greatness will be attracted to it. So right on. We're all kind of in our greatness right now. It's great.
Absolutely.
So what, would you like a read?
I would love one. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's see what kind of comes through for you here. Okay. Okay. Well, we've got some interesting stuff for you, actually. I have three different impressions. The very first one being the manatee. The manatee is kind of one of those animals. It's asking you to accept a situation as it is rather than fighting with something that really is in your best interest over the long haul. It is the gentle persuasion, as it were. Sometimes you want to alter something, or you think you're ready for a change, or you want a really big change, yet what would actually be of the most benefit is to kind of go with the flow and kind of be that gentle influence on everything around you. Water is said to be the element that conquers all other elements. When it's approached by fire, if it can't win and douse the fire, it turns to steam and escapes. It wears away rock and land, and it will flatten down the wind, all with its gentleness. So in your life right now, try to really focus on that gentle spirit that's within you and kind of let that come forward and be your guiding light. The second impression that I have is a very specific type of owl. It's a Hawaiian owl. And it's spelled, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because every time I do, I butcher. it's E-U-E-O. So if you want to look it up and attempt the pronunciation yourself, I'm going to let you have it that, but it's a Hawaiian owl. What this message is coming forth for you, and I can see just like the face very vividly. It's this brown owl with almost raccoon-like eyes, very distinct beak. Your ancestral spirit guides, they're offering you guidance now as you're moving forward. And the message is to pay close attention to signs and omens that are all around you. Apparently, you're very open. But sometimes in that openness, you are so giving that you forget to give back to yourself, and you forget to have time for that awareness, that self time, and you really need to create that space because you can't consistently give others from your basket if you're not refilling it for yourself. Okay. The third and final impression that I have for you is the zebra. So we have one that's water, one that's land, and one that's air, which is pretty balanced. So you're kind of
very
getting this
balanced.
This really nicely, gently balanced energy. The zebra is a lot about agility and success, as well as individuality within a group. So again, it's that thinking about the group and thinking about that gentleness with your agility, but being yourself within the group. Let go of any and all fears that you're currently experiencing, and know that within your group, you're safe group, that you are protected at all times, and you are completely allowed to be exactly who you are without fear of repercussion. That's what I've got.
Wow. How's that feel?
That feels really wonderful. Very, very accurate, too.
Oh, that's, don't you love it?
I do.
I mean, the magic is just so, it's just so prevalent right now. It really is. I'm just personally amazed. I was amazed with the last read. And, you know, because one thing that I clearly got in your read, boy, the power of gentleness is underestimated in our culture. But here's the beauty of this, what I teach is I teach what they call Heioki, which is backwards medicine. And so, see, the power you have right now in the gentleness of who you're being, because it's underestimated, you can't believe how much you can get done with it. It's a paradox.
But
the power is in the paradox.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, you know, group situations you have going on, it's not about pushing your way through like a rhino. You know, it's literally about riding the breeze, you know, kind of like what the manatee does in the water, you know, just, you know, and the owl, boy, talk about swiftness. You won't know an owl's around until, you know, it's got its clutches in you. They are swift and they are
silent.
Stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you spell that Hawaiian owl?
P-U-E-O.
P?
P is in Paul.
Okay.
U-E-O. Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, and you know, I have before, and I think I've tried to pronounce it, and every time I do, somebody always says that's wrong. So I just, you know, I just gave up on my pronunciation.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
you did
my
beautiful.
My pronunciation attempts, you know, like I have nothing. So I just, you know, I'm like, hey, why don't you look this up, and here's how it's spelled.
Yeah, there you go. I love you, Jen.
Easier.
You'll find this quite interesting. Many people say to me, I have the most gentle soul.
Right on.
Yeah, they do. Everyone describes me like that, so that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your power right there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So definitely, you know, own that. You know, people, it's sort of like that old saying, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. Kindness and gentleness is certainly not a weakness.
It's not. And just so you know, and I've done this, and this is, you know, this might be more my cougar, but I think it applies. If people don't appreciate my kindness, you know, literally, I pull it. I do not have to be kind. I'm not
well,
mean.
Keep throwing it out
but
there?
I don't have to, you know? Right, but I don't have to be kind. Because I have withdrawn my own energy as a way, quote unquote, to punish people. Meaning, like, if you're going to treat me like shit, I mean, listen, this is, we're on cable, we can swear. If you're going to treat me like shit, I don't have to keep being nice to you. Now, again, I don't, there's no bashing of them. It's not, I don't flip it to the other side and become, you know, the negative energy. I simply say, those who receive my energy are those I choose to receive my energy. Because I know my energy is valuable. So
well,
even just
gift,
in the receiving,
you know?
It's your gift.
It
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Right on. Right
well,
on.
Thank you very much, ladies. I really appreciate this.
Aw, thank
right
you.
On.
Keep up the good
yeah,
work, and I'll
you.
Keep listening.
Oh, thank you. Right on. Thank you very much, Mary Lee.
And blessings to you both.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Bye
you.
Now.
Bye now. That was hot, Jennifer. God, you're on a roll. Okay, now there's a special read, but well, I won't say. Okay, my partner Janine is on the line. So.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, I'm really stoked. She was like, "I want to read." Okay, you're on, Janine.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
What
yes,
a pleasure
I was,
to meet you.
Thank you. You too. And I've been loving the show. And I didn't realize the chat room was open. I'm listening the whole time, and then I'm thinking, oh, I want to read. So,
yeah. Awesome.
So I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's kind of get to it. I'm really
okay.
glad you called in because I've heard so much. You know, I've heard about you, and it's all been good. It's all been good.
Well,
you know,
great. Yes.
Horrid. But yeah, it's just so fascinating to actually get to talk to you.
Well,
thanks. And I've enjoyed what you post on Goldie's page. I always see it too, and it's great. So,
oh, thanks.
Yeah. So I'm familiar with what your work, and it's great.
Thank you.
Well,
so,
and Janine, did you hear? She's from St. Louis. Remember when I said there's more to St. Louis, and I'm not sure what it is? Remember when
yes.
I said that?
We are the gateway, I'm telling you. They erected that
wow,
huge
wait,
arch.
You're the what? The gateway?
We're
what
the
is
gateway,
that?
You know? They erected that huge arch, and we became the gateway to the West. And literally, if you go down to the arch grounds, there is this energy of just everything coming
wow.
through. We literally, I mean, most
wow.
people probably don't think about it, but we are the gateway city, you know? And that's
okay, you know
powerful.
That it's 8:08 right now, and you're saying that.
Yes.
You know, two infinities and a completion.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I've never
go.
Heard
so
that.
Now, don't
wow,
you all
want
to come
that's
to
incredible.
St. Louis? I do.
I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to meet Doris, and I'm going to pick up Janine along the way, and we're all going to have a party. And
right?
Because there's a movie called Meet Me in St. Louis. We're going to meet
is.
In St. Louis. I never heard that, but you know what? It makes total sense. I mean, it makes just total sense. hide it in plain sight. That's what they're doing. They're hiding it in plain sight.
Yeah, well, really, yeah, it's kind of like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Janine, I have three specific animals for you.
Okay.
Two are kind of similar in energy, and you'll know why when I name them, but they do have their own little variations. But it's a really strong impression with two animals that are kind of similar in tone. The very first one is the moose.
The moose.
The moose is all about patience and self-reliance, as well as overcoming adversity. It's a very earthy, primal animal. I don't know if you've ever watched Moose Mate. That sounded weird. If you've ever watched Moose Mate. I'm like, wow, that's like a bizarre
movie. That's how Janine. Well, who do you masturbate to?
Would you like to?
Wait, what? Have I ever watched a moose do what?
Mate.
Mate.
You know. No.
Okay, well, it's really a very basic yet primal thing. they kind of strut around for 2 weeks and do their calls and prove their worth. And then all it comes down to is a bump. One bump. All you get.
I'm sorry,
but
guys,
it's all about overcoming the adversity. It's a huge process that these moose have to go through to even get the chance to mate. I mean, it's insane to even get their genes in the next pool.
Okay.
It's a lot of patience, a lot of overcoming adversity. It's very primal, and it's also very simple.
Okay.
So a lot of sometimes what looks like it might be a complicated situation, when you step back and take ownership of it and are patient with it, you'll be surprised how simple the outcome is.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Overcome it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So how about that? You didn't know you were going to learn about moose mating. You, you know, get a little frisky business there.
I love it. I love it. You got to just, this is just so, I love it, man. It just doesn't get better than this. This is good radio, girls. This is good radio.
Animal I have for you, and here's where it kind of gets a little similar. When I say it, you're just going to have that aha moment. I can sense it. Is the wild horse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. I love the wild horse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, the wild horse. Passion.
Mm-hmm.
Wild horses are always very passionate, but what they're asking you to do is speak your passion aloud and defend those who you feel need defending with your word and with your deed.
Okay.
That is not necessarily a, you know, rabble-rousing concept. It really is more of a look around you to see who you can mentor, see who you can defend or help assure. Because you obviously, based on these two impressions, are a very self-assured person. You know who you are. You're not confused at all. You're very much on your own path. You are in a position where you can be of a huge benefit to so many people. So that's kind of the goal of the wild horse, yeah. Also, a very strong heart and a very soaring spirit.
Mm.
Okay, that's just trademarks. The third animal that I have for you, and here we're going to get a little bit out of left field, which is good because it kind of throws a monkey wrench in the whole thing. Pun intended, it is the monkey. I just really wanted to do that. So, yeah.
Jen, I love you. I love you.
Agility, courage, communication. Communication, so that message of communicating is coming up again, that self-expression. Monkeys are very communicative. They're also really good in social groups and at establishing hierarchy. And when I say hierarchy, I don't kind of intuit that in the same sense that most people think of the corporate ladder. Cast that aside. That's not really the vision that I want to portray. When I say hierarchy, again, it's more of a loose structure that's set in place so that the fluidity can move within it and not be disturbed by any outside influences. You are kind of both the pathfinder and the gatekeeper. So two hats, my dear. you know, you're going to kind of be responsible in that way because you've been given so much, and to whom much has been given, much is expected. So, you know, definitely you know, continue on stepping out there, getting your message out, communicating your vision, because there are people out there that really need you to set those parameters for them, that really need that vision, that really need that structure, and you can kind of provide that in a way that is both loving and passionate and strong.
Janine, tell her about the sun dream. Tell her about the sun dream, because I'm getting it. She's going to have insight to this.
Yeah, okay, so let's see. It was probably about a little less than 2 weeks ago or about that, and so it started out with like a corridor, and the corridor along the both sides of this long corridor that seemed both inside and outside, it wasn't necessarily either or, there were these big art pieces hanging, and a lot, and the art was beautiful. Some was painted on glass, and I was really admiring it. It was very feminine and beautiful and large. And then I realized that my paintings were there as well, and they were my doorway paintings from this book I wrote called The Magic Gown. And I was like, oh, my doorways are a part of this too. So then the next thing you know, I'm on a train, and the train is moving along this very wide landscape, and I look out and I see these cloud formations that are doing movements that aren't natural to clouds. They're like changing into images of big beings, giant beings, and the clouds are moving up and down in kind of ways that clouds don't usually do. And then next thing you know, I'm standing and my son is next to me. I have two sons. My youngest son is Zach. He's 27. And he's a musician, and he was standing next to me, and about a tennis court away, like that's the distance of a tennis court, there was a big sun, but the sun, there was no heat coming off of the sun, but it was a big globe of a sun, and my son said to me, Mom, walk into the sun, walk into the sun, and at that point, you know, I don't really recall walking into the sun because then you kind of woke, I woke up with this image in my, you know, in my field. And I do recall that it was, you know, it was a sun. It wasn't obviously the sun from our sky because it wasn't giant. It was more, it was big, like a small house, but it wasn't the big sun and it didn't throw heat. It was just, you know, so anyway, that was a dream I had that I thought it was pretty profound. Some dreams I have are more profound than others, and that was one of them. And so I told Golden Hawk, of course, and then she said, you know, oh, that was pretty amazing. And, yeah, so what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, so what do you think about? Wow, all of that, you say. Here's the first impression I got as you were talking. And I always tell people when they're interpreting their dreams, I actually had a psychologist tell me this once, and it was the most profound. It, like, altered my whole universe so profound.
Nice.
So I'm
going
to give this to you, okay?
Okay.
When you're in your dream, it's always important to ask yourself when you wake, what part of everything was you? Because everything in the dream is you. The hallway is you. The art is you.
Right.
Is part of you. Everything is a part of you,
okay?
As well as having overall message, each thing is a part of you. So your art, obviously, you know, it's a symbol of your creative self. But what's interesting about the corridor you describe is it's not outside, it's not inside. There's all these different things. There's your stuff there. There's other people's stuff there. It is an amalgam. It's you to completion. It's you interconnected in a safe place because it's obviously contained. You're not feeling put upon. You're not feeling out of your element. You're not feeling alone or abandoned or in a strange place.
No.
So it's you in your wholeness. And yet, in that wholeness, you feel contained, which is a beautiful balance. It's sort of your yin and yang happening right there.
Mm.
And with the sun that you're describing, what's interesting about that is, you know, suns, they're in essence, they're stars, you know? We all come from that cosmic dust, as it were.
Yeah.
That message to step into the sun, step into your origin. Step into where you came from, and by going to where you came from, you become whole. Okay? So it's almost like a rebirthing process. You're getting ready to step into yourself, your wholeness, your own, and then expand.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And I find it interesting that that message came from your child, because that says a lot about how you and your child connect, because you're obviously deeply connected. And
yeah.
It also says a lot about the fact that you are so much a part of your children and they're so much a part of you. And that's just a beautiful thing. You know, that's just lovely to hear.
You mean my children in as my two sons?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is funny because they're sons.
Yeah, how are you doing that?
But I am very connected and in a very positive way. I am like their greatest fan, and they know it. And so I'm a real source of complete unconditional love connection to them.
Yeah.
So, and yet I'm not a pushover.
Right. Good job.
Yeah, so, but it's, thank you for saying that, because that is true. Thank you. That's great. And so I love the monkey too, you know. And it's funny because in the book that I have a book coming out of children's fiction in September, and the moose and the wild horse to me told, first of all, in my book are a beautiful pair of wild horses. Their name is Mika and Mercury, and they're soulmates, and they're wild horses from a long time ago, and they're beautiful animals. And then they have very strong spirits and very strong love. And then, but what I loved is that the moose let me know that the process is simple. It's not a big deal. Like I feel from your reading, I feel more calmer and confident. This is going to work. This is moving smoothly, because it has been, patience has been required amazingly over the last 2 years for this. It's like 2 years behind schedule, but it actually worked out for me in a better way, because the story's better now. But
wow.
And everything's better. You know, things happen. I mean, yeah, I got to really read it over and over. But I love that with the patience and the trials and tribulations, I've now arrived at a place where the book is ready, to let it be simple, because it doesn't have to be complicated. So that kind of calmed me down about that.
Okay.
So, yeah. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And one little thing I'm going to leave you with. When I say monkey, actually the image I'm getting is a capuchin.
Is it what?
A capuchin.
Are we supposed to know that one? Ask, Jeanine, ask.
Yeah, you do know it. You do know it. It's like if I said Aflac duck. We all have the same image.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a Peking duck. When I say capuchin, it's the monkey from Friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
The one that Ross had as a pet, that's a capuchin.
Okay.
So now we're all on the same page.
Exactly. Well, would different monkeys actually exude, what a stupid question, I'm not even going to finish it. Of course, different monkeys would exude different qualities, because
really
they are different.
And I always recommend, when I get that strong, that specific an impression, do a little research on the animal, because their natural behaviors will have keys that will unlock things for you.
Oh, okay.
So you got a little homework.
Yeah. Capuchin? How do you spell
capuchin?
That?
Look at it real
no,
quick.
No, that's okay. You don't have to.
Okay.
Capuchin.
No.
Capuchin.
Well, you can look if you want. It's fine.
It's on my card. Let me just look at it real quick. Yeah, because I don't want to. Okay, it's CAPUCHIN. Capuchin.
Oh, okay.
There
great.
You go.
I always call it
thank
cappuccino
you.
Monkey. It's like a cappuccino. Capuchin.
I'm going to call you little monkey from now on,
Jeanine. Great. I love
monkeys. I call the girls. Yeah, I love monkeys too. I think they're fabulous. I think they're fabulous.
Well,
that was hot.
Thank you
that
so much, Jennifer. That was really great.
You are most welcome.
Yeah, that was hot.
Thank you.
That was hot.
All right.
Thanks
so
for calling in,
Jeanine.
You're
okay, welcome.
Thanks.
I'll keep
right,
listening.
I love you, Judy.
Bye.
All right, cool. Bye. So we have another caller, but Doris asked me to ask a question, and I think it's a brilliant question. So not that I wouldn't ask it anyways, but she wanted to know what your thoughts about dragons. What do dragons tell us?
Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome. It kind of depends on the element of the dragon, a little bit. But it's interesting because people oftentimes don't think of mythological creatures as being totems. They absolutely are.
Right.
Why? Because they contain pieces, parts of other animals.
Oh.
Think of a unicorn. It's really a rhinoceros horn on a horse. You know, if you think of like some just any mythological animal, you know, you're going to come across it had a piece of this and a piece of that. It's all symbolism. Basically, it all boils down to basic animal symbolism, even when you're dealing with things that are mythological, like dragons. Dragon totems are actually one of the most powerful totems. They represent the hugest range of qualities and emotions and traits, specifically because there's so many different types of dragons.
Okay.
To be kind of specific, the main embodiment is primordial power. They're ultimate rulers of the elements, so they're ultimate control. They're ultimately saying you are in ultimate control. So, you know, to kind of put that into perspective. So I would say when people are encountering that in like a meditation or a dream, see what element, is it a fire dragon, is it a water dragon, you know, what is the main element of that dragon, and that will kind of give you a little bit more in depth. You know, so you kind of have to look at it because it just varies so much.
Okay, that makes sense.
The primordial power. Is the main component of a dragon.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And that makes sense because it's the reptilian aspect. That is the primordial.
It is. It's the primordial brain. Exactly.
Right. Right. Sweet. Okay. All right, you ready for another caller? I mean, do you want to take a break or are you,
no,
are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm on. Yeah.
You are on. I love it. I love it. It's such a pleasure. It's a pleasure playing with you, Jen.
I know. I love this.
I do too.
So fun.
Okay. Yeah, it's totally fun. Area code 530, you're on the air live with Jennifer and Goldie.
Oh, hi, Jennifer.
This is
Patty. I'm calling from Lake Tahoe. And we have lots of beautiful, amazing animals here. So every day I just say, okay, Spirit, what's my message for today? And, you know, a hawk will be there. I see lots of hawks. And sometimes they're actually sitting outside my window in front of my, you know, where I wash the dishes. It's amazing how many. But not always. So I don't really know. But coyote has been coming up a lot. And I've been actually, I'm a psychic medium, and I've been working with my guides to come up with this is going to sound, you're the person I need. I want to know, what are coyotes of, what would be a repellent? Because up here we have little animals. We have a lot of them, and I have a little dog, and a lot of people are wanting to, you know, shoot them or hurt them, and I love them, but I don't want them to eat my animal.
And, you know, if this helps you just right off the bat, you might want to tell your neighbors or whoever has these concepts. Nature does not like a vacuum.
Right.
So if you remove them from the ecosystem, which obviously has food and water and shelter and everything they need, something else will move in.
Yeah,
you might create a bigger problem.
That's so true. Then we'll have the deer. Well, they actually did do that. They did that in an area of Nevada, that the coyotes are up here, and they want to bring them down there because they have such so many deer, and they're ruining all the crops and things. So I hear you, but because I am always listening to Spirit, and I'm always saying, okay, well, what can I do? So here I was. This will be of interest. This is something. I have a 12-year-old son, so we always sit down with, I call it the think tank, and I say, okay, what is the natural predator of the coyote? And so my son said, well, I'll find that out. So we give him a job, and then he comes back, and he said, well, he said, the wolf, Mom. We found out that the wolf actually is a predator of a coyote. And so I was in the shower, and this is really interesting how everything happens to me in the shower. And all of a sudden, my guide said, because we were coming up with an idea for a vest that a small dog could wear, that a coyote would, if it got near it, you know, it would zap it, or it would flash lights, or it would have a sound or something. But then we were thinking, well, the poor dog, you know, I mean, it would get zapped, right? So all of a sudden, and my guide is so amazing, I got a really strong fragrance, like a smell that was so strong. And I thought to myself, what is that, you know? So I sat down in my meditation, and all of a sudden I heard, it's It is the wolf urine that I was smelling.
Oh, wow.
And so I went online, you know, because, of course, I'm thinking, okay, you're giving me great messages here on what to do. And I went on, and there is a company that sells urine of all kinds of animals. Can you believe it?
Well, we've got moose.
I could not believe it. I could not believe this. I thought to myself, oh, my goodness. Within a second, I went online and I bought six different kinds of urine from six different. Yeah, I really did this. And so it's getting clearer and clearer that possibly this is the idea instead of hurt the coyotes. Let's, like, mark our territory with
ecosystem.
The
yes. This is living like an ecosystem. It's
right.
Brilliant.
And it's organic, and it wouldn't hurt
anybody.
And I thought, of course, now everybody's like, okay, Mom, how are you going to test this out? So
right.
I said, okay, well, all right, we know where the coyotes are. They're always out in the meadow. So I thought I'd get a big thing of hamburger, right? And I'd put I'd spray different urine on the different hamburger, put it out there, and see which ones they don't go near.
Well, that might work.
Or what do you think?
Well, here's two thoughts. Number one, mm-hmm. where did they get the urine?
Well, that was the question we said. Is it a male or a female? You know,
well,
that would matter.
Well, is it humane?
Oh, I don't know. You mean how they got the urine from the animals?
Oh,
yeah.
See, Jeff,
that's my first question.
Think about
that. That's just my first question.
That's what my son asked, and I thought, well, maybe through zoos. Or maybe through, where else? I don't know, where else?
I would ask them.
I would research that. Yeah, I would research that. Coyotes are really smart.
They're smart.
If the same smell is there all the time, but they don't see any movement, they don't see any other markers, they're going to catch on. What I recommend to people is two things, especially people that have small dogs.
Yeah.
And this is just common practice. In general, for this kind of situation, mm-hmm. number one, at dawn and dusk when they're most active, go out with your dog. Coyotes are shy by nature. They don't want a confrontation. They're certainly not going to challenge you. You're much bigger than them. The average coyote weighs between 20 and 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. So even though they're tall, they're very slender and lanky under that coat. And, so we're talking beagle weight.
Right.
They're obviously not going to be interested in eating you or
right.
me.
Right. And so if you're out there, I'm always with my dog.
Yeah,
I would
if you're
never,
out with the dog, it's not really an issue. If you have a really large yard and your dog likes to run, then I recommend a leash during dawn and dusk so that the dog is close to you.
Okay.
The other thing is, and you might want to get with your neighbors, there are things that can lure them, like easily accessible trash cans.
Right, okay.
So if you're not putting your trash can out just before pickup and it's easily accessible, that's a huge lure for a coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Outside cat food, outside cats.
Any kind of, yeah. Well, they've got, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Is an old cat in Tahoe.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Because, oh, wow.
They just eat them, you know. It's not it's just on the menu. And so it's true.
Okay.
They've eaten two of my cats, and I love them dearly, but I realized that was part of having a cat up here. We would try to keep these two in, but they would just scoot out, and in the day they scooted, they lost it that day. You know. So,
yeah, but live free and die.
I feel that way too. I couldn't do that to the animal, you know, because these two animals just would not be kept in. You know, they just
right.
Yeah.
Right. So they kind of sense their own journey.
Try taking away the lure and just making sure that the pets are supervised during the active times, the dawn and the dusk, and that'll pretty much solve your problem.
Well, would you think that if you had a loud sound or something that you carried with you, that if they got close, because we've had people where the coyote grabbed the dog off the leash and pulled them and took them.
Wow.
So they are very aggressive, and this was with a person with them. So I guess depending if they have babies, they may be more aggressive. I don't know, you know. So everywhere I go, I mean, within 10 minutes, if I run into someone on the dog walk, they'll say, I just saw two coyotes up ahead. You know, everybody's watching out for the people with the dog, the smaller dog.
Right.
So, and I really thought, well, okay, well, something we could have with us that would be gentle on the animal.
That certainly is a really good idea. That certainly is a good idea.
Wait a minute, guys. Hold on. We have lost sound. The chat room is saying they're not hearing this. I just want them to hear this because this is just incredibly good information. I'm completely lost of why the hell they lost sound. All right.
I have a show that happens. You might have to just go back on and reboot
it. Okay, guys.
It again.
That's what I'm. All right. Let me reboot. Reboot, you mean the whole studio page?
You may have to, yeah. That's happened to me before. I've had to call in again, and then everything got back on the line. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm just telling you that's how it works for
me. Listen, we just got nailed with 3 solar flares early this morning at 12 o'clock at night. This is going to happen. I mean, this is welcome to the world of shiftings and changings. All right, let me know. Anything, guys? Wait a minute. I guess I can't.
So, Jennifer, this is the question.
You guys keep going. You guys keep
okay,
going.
This
yeah,
is the question
okay.
for you. If you were going to use a smell deterrent type of thing, would you put it on the dog or would you put it around the property?
I would put it around the property.
Okay. Because my husband's like, well, then the dog will smell. I'm like,
maybe we could have it,
or the vest would, but that would be so strong, probably.
Are you going to leave that outside? I mean,
This would be with supervision. That I would, put on either the dog so that it would smell bigger than it is, I don't know, or around. I watch the dog, and the dog marks its territory as we go for the walk. And I thought, well, if I had a spray, I could spray it with this other spray, and then it would keep it away, in a sense. I don't know. I just
It might. Then again, you would have to consistently apply that. I mean, every time it rains, I mean, you're in Tucson or like Tahoe. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much rain you have, but every time it rained, you'd have to reapply. And not only that, but obviously, if you have a lot of dogs in the area and they are marking their territory, there's not that much difference between a wolf and a dog when it comes down to urine aroma.
Is it okay?
The modern day dog is descended from gray wolf. Keeping that in mind, especially on the dog walking area, like you have a dog trail.
We do, yeah.
So obviously
those
dogs
mark,
are,
and everybody's
marking all the time, and that's not a huge deterrent either. I think a great idea would be, of course, the supervision, lack of lures, and then the noise thing that you recommended is also a really good idea. The other good idea that sometimes something like this might work, and you might want to try it, a beach ball. A beach ball is a very large object, bright, shiny colors, foreign to them, and you could always kind of chuck it their direction.
Oh.
It's not going to hurt them.
Wow.
So you could kind of consider that option, too. And it's easy to carry.
Wow. And are they afraid? Would they be afraid of loud noises? Would they be afraid of lights? Would they be afraid?
In the dark, they might be afraid of the light.
Right, okay.
Dawn and dusk, depending on how bright it is when you're out. The loud noise is a really good idea.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you so much. You are the perfect person to talk to because, I mean, of course, this is a new concept that's trying to, either manifest itself or not, So we're right in the beginning of possibly doing something about this. And I thought, well, maybe this is why I'm listening to this show. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
So, well, thank
you.
I'm
glad you brought it up. That's a really interesting question. So.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of owners who have little dogs must be worried, are worried about it. They really, or cats, they do go outside. And if there was something, and I thought about, if there was something that you could actually spray on your animal, but it would probably be so strong that you wouldn't even want the animal to come in the house. That's true, too. So it's like, well, I don't know.
Well, you kind of got to think about the whole nature thing, too. I mean, wolves don't pee on themselves. So it's not like,
yeah.
I mean, scent marking happens for a reason, so I'm not sure dousing the dog would be effective at all anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's not a consistent scent.
This is how I found, the name of the company that I found it was called the Pea Mart, and that's what it's called. And really, can you believe it, though? And they sell it to ranchers and hunters, the urine, to mark their ranches so that the coyotes won't come in eat their cattle. And so they must have to do it often, especially if the weather changes, like you said. But I guess it's one way that they can hope to not have them come in and hurt the babies, you know, when they are born. So that's what they use. There's this either, you know, I think it was wolf. They had wolf, coyote, had like bear, mountain lion, all different, you know, kinds of animals.
Wow.
So I don't know. You know, we thought, well, maybe what we should do is research how they're really using it. You know.
Yeah, and where they're getting it from.
And where they're getting it from. Good.
That's
a
great question, right? Yeah, right
good
on, Jennifer.
Question. My
good
son
question.
Asked that question, and I thought, well, that's a good one. I don't know, you know.
Right, yeah.
Do they have
well, because
hospice?
You want to support the ethic treatment of animals.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
That's
not only
the key
that,
of that.
Is it even real, or is it synthetic?
Well, that was what I thought.
Oh.
Was, you know, it
oh,
might
shit.
Be a synthetic
okay.
version. Because how much? Because you could buy gallons of this online.
Yeah.
And how
yeah.
could that be? You know,
yeah,
I mean, that just alone yeah. made me think it was a synthetic version, which is okay.
Huh.
I actually would rather.
Well, but again, it depends on what's in it. Because are you doing damage by putting it out?
Oh.
You know, I mean, if it's harmful to the plants and it's harmful to the area, and it could be potentially
we
poisonous.
Don't know what
I mean,
what's
we don't know
it,
what
right.
that is. That's not natural.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
I would stick with the organic personally. I mean, but that's just me. But listen,
yeah.
you also got two kitties that were, you know, kind of, you know, offerings to the coyote. So
yeah.
I get
you
really
you know,
want to kind of get
okay.
this.
I mean, my feeling is that this is what we're doing. The think tank goes on. You know, we're just and I think the more we put minds like yours and other people who know more, the clearer and the questions will start to
right
uncover
on.
The what to ask.
Great
you know.
Attitude.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
attitude.
Hey, well,
yeah.
thank you so much, Jennifer. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Bye.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We have a little bit
yes.
of chaos. They can't hear in the chat room, but if they call in, they can. But the thing is, I have a really dear friend of mine from Facebook. He lives in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's literally, like, halfway across the world, literally. And he wants to read, so he's in the chat room. He can't hear it, but my gut is telling me that because they can hear when they call, that means the archives are going to be fine. It's just
okay.
for whatever the reason, because I have reloaded several times. It's just not working, so because it's not working. But I would love to still do a read for him. And he had one question, which he's very connected to the raven,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Simon. So if you could do a read for him, that would be truly outstanding.
And was he wanting information about the raven?
He was wanting information about
he was.
The raven.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me address that first, and then I'll kind of move into the reading.
Okay.
The raven is kind of similar to the crow in interpretation, and I know we were talking about that earlier. So we have ravens and crows in here tonight.
Yeah.
Ravens
yeah.
tend to symbolize, first of all, light in the darkness. They are all about that mimicry, that communication, that vocalization, and that intuition in the darkness. They're about creation. They're also about illusions and personal power. What people would say is magic, and not sleight of hand magic, but like the ability to be so aware that you can, by will, manipulate your story, your environment, what's happening around you by pure thought and choice. That's kind of what the raven's about. A lot of people, I think, because of Poe and that symbology, kind of think of it as a bad omen or a harbinger of death. Absolutely not. There's not really any historical evidence to support that. So it really is about that light in the darkness. But without the darkness, you can't understand the light. So
absolutely.
It's important
absolutely.
To embrace those things. That's kind of the message of the raven.
Yay, Simon, huh? I know you can't hear this until a later now moment, but baby, I mean, right? There it is. So, okay, it's a brilliant call. It fits everything. And I don't know if he has a question because he left the chat room.
Aww.
So, I don't know, because he can't hear, so I get
right.
it. He's not really getting this. So, yeah. But if we could still do, you know, can you
yeah.
tune into him?
Because
his name is Simon Varsi. He's awesome. He's just awesome, and it would be great to give Simon a read. So
sure. Well,
awesome.
The very first impression, you know, we're having so many people with similar themes tonight. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
First impression is the bison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So that's different. Oh, the water buffalo. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what a
so
water
similar,
buffalo is now.
But it's
right,
different.
Right. Okay.
Think Africa for water buffalo. Think Native America for
and for bison.
Bison.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, right on. Right on.
What the bison asks is to recognize the riches inherent in your past, whether they presented themselves as good or bad situations, they all allowed you to inherit a sense of richness about life. So recognize the richness of your past and the abundance of the present moment. That kind of awareness is going to be so important for Simon.
Nice. Okay.
The second impression coming through. And again, now we're flip-flopping. So instead of America, we're flipping to Africa with the lion, the big old maned lion. I actually
right,
had
I'm
hand
gonna,
movements, but you couldn't see any of that. I had hand movements going on for that big old mane. so we're really channeling that lion. The lion, unlike most big cats, lives in a pride. It doesn't have a solitary existence at all. So it is about, first and foremost, it's the solar energy. Okay? So a lot of daytime activity is prevalent with the lion. Also, understanding the point of view of the daytime half of everything, the yang, the light. Again, kind of like the raven, it's about understanding the light. And lions can be nocturnal predators, but they do have that solar presence. So there's that yin and yang concept again.
Yeah.
The pride itself is about family. It's about vitality. But more than anything, it's really about conservation of energy. Because when you have a bunch of different people, or lions, as it were, pulling in the same direction, working towards the same goal, it's a lot easier and you have a lot more success than when it's just one individual. So the family component, however that person defines family, is very important as well.
Okay.
So banishing loneliness by reaching out to special friends and family, really important. Bring that family element close. The final impression that I have, you're going to love this, is the dog, the domestic.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Well, that's what the vision that Doris had. So this
is really
kind
of bookending, you know, it's like we kind of started
with
the dog and now we're kind of fading into the sunset. We're wrapping with the dog. you know.
I love it. Indeed.
So it's all about that, again, that loyalty and faithfulness. So, you know, and also protection, but there is almost like this message of almost like a warning. You want to be careful not to misplace your loyalty and faithfulness either by serving too many masters or the wrong ones. And that doesn't necessarily mean people. It could be ideals. It could be concepts, political constructs or organizations or anything. But it asks you to take a closer look as to where you're placing your loyalty and your trust and your faithfulness because some of it might wind up being misplaced.
Okay.
Okay. So on top of the protection aspect, there is that flip side where there's almost like the shadow message coming through that's bringing a warning in order to protect, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. Yes. Of course, it's almost paradoxical, though, again, right? Because it's kind of playing with the time and, you know, time-space continuum kind of thing. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? But indeed, I think that's fabulous. I mean, because if you knew Simon is a dimensional worker. He walks between the dimensions. He's shamanic and, well, everything you're saying, he's going to resonate. And I'm still working on somebody in the – well, can you guys hear me yet? I don't know.
Are they without ears?
No. Oh, no, okay. No, the people on the phone are telling us, no, it's still just on the phone. I mean, I feel bad. I love it, though. I actually have people in the chat room, and they can't hear a thing. I mean, is that loyalty?
That's loyalty. That's dog energy
right there.
That's what it is.
Let me tell – I'm going to tell Dennis to call in. All right, wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, because he calls all over the place on Blog Talk Radio, so – it's perfect. We got about 10 more minutes. You can do a read for him, and you know,
we'll close out this incredibly, I mean, it was wonderful. They were writing in the chat room that, you know, first of all, the solar flares does not surprise me when things happen. We actually got a direct hit this morning, and it was like three direct hits. Yeah, so, I mean, the planet got three direct hits. It is no surprise that we are having, you know, communication issues. This is, you know, this is just, it comes with the territory when the sun starts burping. Yes, call in now, Dennis. So, but the fact that I could still hear and the callers can still hear, I know for a fact, too. The archive will be great. Simon will be amazed.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was a great read. I apologize if I'm a little skitsy because I was trying to get the sound on and
No, it's totally. I you know, these things happen. What can you do?
Oh, wait a minute, Doris. Doris, you can hear now. Wait a minute, Doris, you can hear now. yeah, but Doris, you called in. No. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, no, okay. All right, so I'm waiting for Dennis to call. Okay, oh, somebody called.
All right.
Oh, it's Janine.
Oh.
All the people that have been on are calling back because they want to hear. Well, let's bring Janine on, I mean, just because she's always good in a crisis. Hey, babe, you're on the air.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, so, I can hear you. Yeah. What? So nothing. You can't hear anything if we're not on the phone.
No.
Yeah. God bless it. She's giving amazing information.
Did you know the monkey did it? I think.
Yeah. Right. That Poochin.
Right. That's cool. Do you have any questions or you know? Now I asked Dennis to call in, and now he doesn't. You know, he's dicking me around. God bless. I can't win for losing.
I can't wait. I'm going to have to re-listen because I missed Simon's reading, but I want to hear
it. So definitely, you do.
I will.
Yes.
I'll listen to the archive.
I just
wanted to call in because I was going to listen to Dennis get a reading, but he's not calling in.
Can you believe it? I mean, Jen, the funny part about this is he's a friend of mine, and, you know, he's kind of one of those, he surfs the blog talk radio network, you know, he's a blog talk radio junkie, and I love him, but I'm basically like, you know, listen, because he kind of comes on, and, you know, on some level, kind of just, there's a presence where, I called him, it's great to have an animal communicator, or an animal, you know, well, communicator.
Yeah,
I call him my locust. He's locust, you know, because he's very individually, he's harmless, but then he swarms. And I don't know what to do with him. And I'm like, listen, stop calling my show. You call 100 other shows, you know, because it's just, but this is a perfect time for him to be calling.
Right.
Because
and now
he's read,
not there.
And he's in the chat room. I mean, I specifically said, Dennis, call in, and, you know,
and
he's
said,
not.
And he said, hey, he said, all right.
Right.
But he didn't call.
Oh, there he is. Okay, there he is.
Oh, good.
Thank
all right,
you.
I'm going to listen.
Yes. All right, yeah, I'm not even muting you, babe. You're on,
okay.
So if you want to say anything.
Okay.
Dennis, like, all right, I will scold you later. All right, hi, Dennis, want to read?
Sure, Jennifer.
All right, yeah, that would be great. I would love to do a
thank
reading.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah.
Thank you, babe.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And Goldie, thanks for taking my call.
Well, we're having technical problems. This is a special occasion.
This is all okay.
Okay. Well, I have two distinct impressions for you. The very first one is the snake, specifically the venomous snake. And that's important because whether a snake is venomous or non-venomous actually alters the perception of the symbology. Okay. When I see it, I actually see the rattlesnake. So that is a combination of things. Inevitable change. Number one. And change is always inevitable, but this is something coming down the pipe that even if you wanted to have influence over it, it's a bigger thing. And with it comes, of course, the transformation. But I'm also sensing a healing, and that's a healing of, I don't want to, not disease, but dis-ease. So a healing of something either in your life or something that's going on around you that is causing uneasiness. And then also a shedding of any burdens. You're getting ready to shed some things in your life that perhaps need to fall away, and this process typically takes several months. Snakes don't typically shed, you know, just all at once. It's a whole process. So the transformation, the healing, the shedding, that whole rebirthing process could take some time, but it is absolutely inevitable. And the snake has been given numerous symbolic qualities over the years and across cultures, from sexual to compassionate to clairvoyant even. But it is definitely the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. The poisonous snakes themselves have been associated with transformation and healing in many different Native American beliefs. It's also thought to activate the primal energies, which, you know, if correctly manipulated, energetically speaking, can cure rather than kill. So kind of keep that in mind, that a lot of anti-venoms are actually created from the original venoms. A lot of medicines are found through that, so that type of energy is kind of what's coming forth. The second one that I have for you is the swan. It is also a symbol of transformation. We all remember the ugly duckling.
So right,
it's definitely
right,
a story of transformation, a big transformation, very important. And with the beauty also comes a loss of innocence, which most people tend to mourn, but a loss of innocence is actually quite a cathartically beautiful thing. What is the beauty in innocence? Not much. There isn't much knowledge there. There isn't much power there. So by losing a sense of naivete or innocence in a certain area, you gain wisdom and understanding and knowledge in another. So kind of keep that in mind. So the other kind of feeling that I'm getting from this is never hide behind your feathers. Sort of like Swan Lake, where the swan princess will hide behind her feathers. That sort of feeling of sometimes I pull back and hide behind something, make sure you're not doing that. You really need to be seen for who you are and for the beauty that you possess and for the gifts that you have all the time. It's very, very, very important that people see that, almost like a beacon of hope. A lot of people, they've lost hope. They've lost their sense of self. And to a certain extent, that type of feeling, they lose their purpose in it. With you being someone that is not experiencing that, you will shine like a beacon to them that, hey, I have hope, I'm on my path, I'm doing my thing. What does that mean for you? It means you can do it, too. It's not a hopeless situation. So keep that in mind, too, because both of these are symbols of transformation. They do involve healing, but they also involve a shedding and a loss of innocence as well.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you for letting me read for you.
Well,
ain't
you.
She good, Dennis? She's amazing.
No, she's good. Jennifer, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love that. Thank you very much. You've got 3 minutes, and I'd love for you to have your time.
Thank you for not swarming us tonight, Dennis. I appreciate it. So I'm going to put you back on hold, and we're going to we'll go out of the show, giving her information. But thank you for calling in, Dennis. You know, I do so appreciate that you were there to help me. I do. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So, Jennifer, we must do this more. I mean, we do. First of all, I mean, I'm sorry that the whole episode got a little kooky. People did call in. The people in the chat room were definitely on the phone. And I'll be honest, Simon said he was listening the whole time, from Norway. So what it actually might have been is it hit everybody's computer at the same time, but who should have been rebooting is the people.
Ah.
I don't know, but how does Simon hear it in Norway and they don't hear it in America?
It was meant for Simon.
No kidding. I love when an energy comes together.
Yeah,
really
it's sort of an A-team moment, isn't it? You love it when a plan comes together.
Exactly. And you're fabulous. I love your spirits. Love your wisdom. I love everything about you. When I was weekly, I wanted you every Thursday, but listen, or every third Thursday. Anytime you get an itch and you're like, hey, I really want to be on the radio, please, because I'm afraid I'm going to bug you too much. So you call me when you want to do this, because
okay.
I love when you're on, okay? I love it.
You do this more. It's so fun to hang with you. I just love it.
Aww,
it's always got such a vivaciousness, you know? I just, sucks people
back
right
at
in.
You. Yeah, no, back at you. It's delightful. And talking about the animals, I'll be honest with you, listening to you do reads, I feel like I'm learning from, you know, you're my mentor. I was listening to you do the reads. I hope to be as good as you one day. I mean, I think you're amazing.
Thank you. That really touched my heart. Thank you.
Oh, right back at you. So where can the people find you? And if they want to make private bookings with you, definitely share where they can find you.
Yeah. Well, you can always find me through my website, which is earthandpawtotems.com. And, you know, you can always click the contact me. Or you can click my little Facebook button or my Twitter button on the website and reach me through either one of those places as well. So I'm very, very social online. Feel free to reach out and let me know. My site also includes free message totem readings. So if you feel like you just need a message for a specific situation, you know, just come hit me up for it. You know, we'll get it sorted out.
Right on. Well, and it's wonderful to be to befriend her on Facebook, because she does post the totem readings every day, and they're right on the money. I can't even tell you how many times synchronistically I've been like, God, Jennifer, there it is again. Like, you, I'll be in a space and you'll post the animal that really just kind of congruently makes it all understandable, and you know. You're in sync. You're in sync. You're in line. I'm honored to share time and space with you. Truly honored. You're amazing.
You're
been very, very
welcome. It has been amazing getting to know you. I mean, it has just been a beautiful experience. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Back at you. Much love. You know, it's so funny. I was going to go, and next week, a week from Thursday, next Thursday, Rashmi Kilnami. You know, you think Ganesh is tough to say. she'll be on talking about the Divine Mother. And, you know, who knows? I might end up having a show in between then. I do have, you know, Janine on the line, and I might be able to convince her to do a little spontaneous radio with me, maybe sometime between now and next Monday. And if you want, everybody, check out the new, I updated my page, anotherrealityshow.com. We now have the presence of the Mystical Mother Earth show on there. Janine is we have a link to Janine's page, the Psychic Moon page that I'm working with these, the psychic readers. And change is here. Embrace it. Don't resist it. Embrace it. Be the... what was the fish that was embraces change, doesn't fight it? The manatee.
Yes,
be
the
manatee.
Manatee,
everyone.
The manatee.
Yeah. Such brilliance from creatures that are so graceful and so silent. Just truly accept what's going on, integrate it, and once it's integrated, I promise you, the cathartic experience will happen through the integration. So I'm delighted everybody was here. I apologize for the sound going out. I don't know what that's all about. But everything was fine in the show, so as soon as we're off, within 5 minutes, you can hear the archive. You can go straight to the point that you might want to hear, or you can listen to the whole show. But I'm blessed. I hang out with amazing people, and you know, rock on, Jennifer. You are amazing. I really want to do this more with you. I really do.
Oh, I know we have to do this more often. We
right
really
on.
Do.
Right on. Okay.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
and just so you know, Jennifer, everybody in the chat room thinks you're amazing. Everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Okay, until next time, everybody have an amazing day, an amazing night, and I'll talk to everybody soon. So rock on.
Bye.
Bye.
You've You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.